of adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Captain. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by JJ's Incredible Cookie Company, the perfect treat for your dimension-jumping child.
To all who have come to this podcast, welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
And with new episodes coming out every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast? Simply search for Obscure Disney Podcast or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
Nice.
You like that?
I do. I like that.
I've been practicing.
Good. I can tell.
I have not been practicing, actually.
Oh. Well, way to break the illusion of people thinking we're putting in some effort.
We like to keep natural, to make it feel good.
Right.
But
Steve, when you were a kid, did you have any stuffed animal toys?
I had one.
What did you have?
It was a bear.
Oh?
I only had it for a couple years. It was not a Winnie the Pooh bear, though.
What was his name?
Teddy.
Oh, did you name him that?
No, he had his name on a box.
That's a terrible name. I had a stuffed Stay Puft Marshmallow Man from the Ghostbusters.
Oh, I totally would have traded you.
He was cool. His eyes glowed in the dark and everything.
Oh.
So mine definitely has more of a chance of being in a movie than yours did.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody's stuffed animals are quite as famous as Christopher Robin's toys from right. when he was a kid.
Yeah, they're infamous, really.
They're infamous? They're so famous, they're infamous?
That's usually a word used for like bad things,
isn't it? It's a bad thing, yeah.
Oh, sorry. They're adorably cute and squishy.
So we went to see the film Christopher Robin, which, did it just come out last week? Are we that on the ball?
It came out on Friday, yeah. It's only been out a couple of days
us.
Now. Right.
Well, just in case, we'll put a spoiler alert out there, because we don't plan on spoiling things, but you never know. We like talking about the end of movies.
Yeah, it's
the
possible.
Ending's the most important part. You got to talk about the ending.
It's true.
So yeah. We went to see it. Do you have any history with Winnie the Pooh at all?
I mean, everybody in America does, right? Like, somewhat.
Yeah, somewhat.
He's cute and fun and loves his honey. You know, and my aunt, for some reason, Winnie the Pooh reminds me so much of my 92-year-old aunt before she passed away.
Okay.
A lot of the expressions that he used and does use there in the movies and stuff remind me a lot of the things that she would say.
Oh.
And then a lot of the times that she would be like, you know, that he'd be like, "Oh, Pooh." Kind of a, like, that was just kind of her personality.
Was your aunt always looking for a smackerel of honey?
That was more my grandpa, but yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, between the two of them.
So other than that, I mean, not really. Like, I'm not overly attached to any of the characters, mm-hmm. but it was cute.
Yeah, it's a cute show. I mean, I'm assuming you've seen at least parts of the cartoon and stuff.
Right.
That Disney
and
put
I've,
out.
And I've been on the ride once without you. Because
I'm not a fan of the ride.
We are not allowed to go on it because it took over the Country Bear Jamboree.
Just at Disneyland.
Right.
We can probably ride it in Disney World when we go.
And it's fun. It's a super fun ride. So for that reason, I'm connected to it that way as well.
Right.
And the imagery that you see everywhere that's absolutely adorable.
Right.
They're super cute.
So this movie, though, kind of has, I know you haven't seen this movie either, but it kind of has like a Hook kind of vibe to it. So in Hook, Peter Pan goes back to Neverland as an adult and has to learn to be childlike again. This is very much the same, where we see Christopher Robin leave the Hundred Acre Wood and go into the real world and deal with a lot of really heavy real world stuff. He gets married, he has children, he goes away to war, he has a very busy job that is in trouble. We just see what happens to people in general when you have to grow up, right?
Yeah.
And
I love that part of the movie too. It was very much a period piece that I was all about.
Were you all about that part?
Oh, I loved it.
I felt like I could feel almost the audience getting kind of bored with it.
Oh, they were for sure.
Yeah. But that's... They were. I was not. No, I was having a great time. Because
the majority of the audience was 7-year-old kids, so right. Of course they were bored with it.
Right.
But
this also leads into my main point about the movie is that it's very dreary. And I don't know if it's just because they shot in London or that was the vibe they were going for, but it seemed almost desaturated in color. It seemed very
muted and monotone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's what they were going for?
I don't know. It did kind of have a little bit of a... I mean, they obviously had to have been going for that look.
True.
But it almost reminded me a little bit of, in Sixth Sense, how when something bright and red showed up, that you had to, like, hold your attention to it because it was...
Spoilers. Right? More spoilers for those of you that haven't seen The Sixth Sense in the last 20 years.
But, like, so it really made Pooh's red balloon stand out and the red...
Ooh, that's true.
You know, and those kinds of things that it really drew your attention to it. And
right.
So for that reason, it almost felt like a murder mystery of sorts, kind of in a weird way.
I don't think that's the image the Disney was going was for, not. Is the Winnie the Pooh murder mystery.
That's true. For an upbeat, Tigger-filled, bouncy, you know,
right?
movie, it wasn't.
It was very melancholy and very even-tempered.
Yeah.
Like, even in the exciting parts, I didn't feel that it was overly energetic. It was just kind of... Eeyore-y. It was kind of doop 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 along, you know, which isn't a bad thing. It's just a very different tone than most children's movies.
Sure.
Which I can appreciate. Because I went into this movie a little cynical.
Because
There's nothing that irritates me more than when they're like, let's take these fantasy characters and bring them into the modern world.
True.
It'll be crazy. Yeah. I hate that.
Yeah.
They did it with the Smurfs. In the more recent movies and things, and I just think it's a cop out, and it's not funny, and the situations aren't great. So I went into this thinking, ugh, if they drag these characters out into the real world, I'm going to be irritated.
Yeah, and I think critics are pretty much on board with you. We got a 69% approval, and it says it's a mixed bag of emotions.
Yeah.
It's kind of the things that they've said. Audiences are loving it. They gave it a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, and that's typical of what you would probably see with a Disney movie, that audiences just absolutely adore it, especially on opening weekend.
Well, they got super fans. That's the thing.
Right.
Is there are people that love Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah,
so.
And there was, you know, obviously, again, in Atlanta, there was clapping at the end of the movie.
There
even after the theater broke down like 4 times.
Now, what is up with that?
I didn't know that was even possible.
I have not been in a theater that had projection problems in a very long time.
I was waiting for like the tape to fall off the reel and like spin off to the side, you know.
See little gremlin shadows. Yeah.
It felt like that, but really, y'all, if you haven't been to a theater where it's where it's broke down, where it just goes black, it's a weird feeling nowadays.
It is weird. And like the audio kept going, but there
was
no image.
Right during the critical part.
During a main key part. And we're all just kind of, it's one of those group mentalities where you're all just kind of looking at each other in the dark going, okay, who's going to say something?
Oh,
you know?
There was going to be a mutiny on their hands,
they
too.
Were very upset in that theater.
They were willing to sit there for about 2 minutes before one person got up, and then it was a firestorm of people.
Yeah, there was 4 or 5 people walking out at the same time.
Yeah, it got up to be like 20 or 30 people even.
And then they had to have someone walk in from the theater and go, we know, we're working on it. Bear with us, please.
Anyway.
But it was, overall, it was a fine movie. I didn't dislike anything, and I did have a couple of emotions during it. There were some really kind of heartbreaking things.
Yeah, of course there was, yeah.
It's a Winnie the Pooh movie,
and
right?
And it's a Disney movie.
And it's a Disney movie about growing up, and Disney hates grown-ups, so...
They despise.
They hate you when you're grown-up, so that's why...
Listen, I agree.
Yeah, grown-ups are no fun either, but I'm not a big fan of kids either. So it's, you know, it's a mixed bag for me too, you
and
know?
Since I've been both, I guess.
Have you? What?
It's a shocker.
I am shocked.
I know, so I guess next...
I always just picture you as an adult, you know, looking at charts and counting money.
That was somewhat true. My favorite toy as a child was a cash register.
Oh, see, that would be a much different Winnie the Pooh type movie with you and your cash register.
It's true. But yeah, the movie was about $75 million to make, and it ended up making $32 million in the U.S. so far, $27 million opening weekend, and I think it's like $38 million worldwide so far. So, you know, I guess on par, on average.
It's okay, yeah. I have to say, they spent their money really well, because their CGI of the 100 Acre Wood characters is really impressive. Like,
when it wasn't being freaky?
When was it freaky?
In the opening scene. No. It kind of was, though, right? Like, when it's a bit jarring if you haven't seen the movie yet. As soon as it, or if you have and you can relate, please let me know. Like, when it first, like, when they first zoom in on the animal sitting on the bed, and they're, anyway, it was kind of weird to me. I was like, oh.
Oh, because they're not, like, furry animals. They're, like, threadbare stuffed animals.
And they, yeah, exactly. I expected them to look well-kept and Disney-like, and no, they were not.
They were definitely not. They were definitely more hyper-realistic as far as looking like stuffed animals that are well-loved and used and a little bit threadbare.
For sure.
You know?
They were abused. No, I'm just kidding. I shouldn't say that.
I shouldn't say that.
They were not.
But at the beginning of the movie, they're even a little bit more colorful than they are at the end of the movie. They aged them up quite a bit.
Truly.
Between the beginning and the end of the movie. And it was a little bit... I think it just lends itself to that more melancholy kind of feeling to it, is that they're not bright, colorful characters. They're very muted and aged.
Yeah. It was a look.
But they look like, as far as looking real.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do. We're very used to CGI at this point. Everyone knows that it's being done.
Uh-huh.
So when you can legitimately make me go, huh, I wonder if that was a puppet that they used for that specific shot.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
That's true.
I wasn't quite as impressed with some other parts where they're, you know, it's always difficult to interact with something that's not there.
Right.
And so sometimes the actors were a little off. But in general, I felt like the CGI characters looked very much like they were there.
Right.
And that's hard to do.
That is true. I can't wait to buy it on DVD, though, and watch the behind-the-scenes making when they're walking around holding, like, green bears or something.
Right.
Like, are not even real.
I wonder if they did do that, or if they just gave them, like, a green pillow to carry around or something.
Something along the... But it's going to be cool to watch.
Yeah, it will be cool to watch.
That's for sure.
Overall, I would say this was probably a B- of a movie.
Yeah, I was going to give it an A.
Would you give it an A?
Sure, there was no reason to give it less.
Oh, all right. Shady, thanks. Throw me under the bus. I am not a stuffed animal. The throwing under the bus will hurt.
Right. Well, and I didn't have a lot of reference, you know, to go off of.
True.
I am very curious to people that are big Winnie the Pooh fans, and I know that, like, Tigger has a huge following, right?
Yeah, people love Tigger.
Oh, my gosh, but Eeyore was... I thought hilarious.
You loved Eeyore the best?
That he's probably the one that reminds me of my aunt. That grumpy, soppy. Oh, well. That's probably where I'm getting it from, is Eeyore.
Maybe that is what you're getting it from.
If you put the two together, there you go.
Childhood. Eeyore has some great lines.
Right.
Honestly, he's kind of... I don't know. I think he kind of stands in for the modern person that's very cynical and overly depressed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But they also have some throwbacks to things from the cartoon that I don't know that you would have caught. You know, like when you first meet Eeyore, he's floating on his back in the river, which is a throwback to the original cartoon that Disney did. When Piglet gets, like, thrown on the windshield of a car, which is not a spoiler because they show it in the previews, but it's a throwback to when Piglet during the cartoon, he slams into Owl's window like that. And then they have really fun callbacks to the music.
Yeah, of course.
From the original movie.
You gotta put those in, right?
Which is great.
I know nothing about Winnie the Pooh, and I knew that song.
Did you know the songs?
Yeah.
Did you know the up, down, touch the ground song?
Quite literally that song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they do a little fun nod to the Winnie the Pooh song. And, you know, again, it was the Sherman Brothers who do amazing music for all of Disney's stuff. And they actually brought one of the Sherman Brothers back to do music for this movie. So he wrote a couple of the songs for this movie, too.
Huh. What songs? There was no songs in that show.
There were a couple, but they aren't nearly as featured nor catchy as the cartoon, I think.
Poor Sherman Plus, Brothers.
Of course, we didn't stay through the end credits, and apparently there's a end credits scene, of course.
Right.
Where one of the Sherman Brother is playing the piano or something.
Oh, that's fun.
Which might have been nice to see, but I was not going to brave all those kids trying to walk out of there at the same time.
Oh, that's true.
I made a beeline for that exit.
Huh. Interesting. I did miss the opening, the short story that you norm, the little shorts that they put on the front of the animation.
Pixar usually does that.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Yeah.
Dang. I was all looking forward to that.
You were looking for the short?
Sure. I love the shorts.
But you know what's interesting about this movie, though, is that it's been effectively banned in China.
Really? Why?
They will not show Christopher Robin in China. Mm-hmm. And this is... this is kind of sad, but people started comparing Winnie the Pooh to the Chinese president in the last few years. And because they don't like that, they're like, well, fine, you don't get to watch Winnie the Pooh at all then. So the president doesn't want Winnie the Pooh in China.
Really? So some sort of like slang?
It's a vanity thing for the president. He doesn't like people comparing him to Winnie the Pooh.
Huh.
Isn't that weird?
I wonder if they're showing it in North Korea.
Oh.
I'm only kidding.
I was like, wow, we're getting real political all of a sudden.
They don't show nothing in North Korea.
They don't show nothing to nobody in North Korea. But it is an interesting thing to think that there's an entire group of people that aren't allowed to see this movie.
Isn't it fascinating? I wonder if that's why the worldwide box office is so low then.
Maybe it is, because China does take in a lot of Disney.
They do.
They love their Disney stuff.
Yeah, isn't that pretty much the only reason they make Transformer movies anymore? Is because of Japan and China?
Well, that's not Disney, but yeah.
Right.
Those countries love the Transformer movies, even if Americans don't.
Right.
Which we haven't for a good minute.
No, they don't make them for us anymore.
No.
That's fine. They outnumber us anyway, so they do. Totally fine. Yeah. But yeah, we only see a $5 million... Like, to me, I thought those numbers were a little bit lopsided.
It seemed a little low, honestly, for a Disney movie that's so, like we said, the characters are so beloved, to have it not perform as well. But I think maybe a lot of it has to do with the general overall tone of the movie, again, is not very playful.
No, and that's probably the problem, is the fact that I like it. Like...
because you're melancholy and rather droopy.
And I'm all into it, you know, in World War One period piece. Like, those kinds of things really I find fascinating and exciting, and I love documentaries, so sure, I'm all on board for that.
Right.
And but I do wonder if you're a true Disney fan, or if you're, you know, a Winnie the Pooh fan. If that's the kind of thing that you would love.
But what would you say is, like, the general... like the takeaway from this movie, what is the point that they're trying to get across, would you say?
I don't know, but I was getting pretty irritated about the fact that they were harping on adults for having a job.
Oh, again. Really?
It's the line through a lot of shows, right?
That lot of kids' movies really vilify jobs, right? A lot.
There's like, how dare you go to work? Oh, it's awful. You know, and I was really having a problem with that. But at the end, it does circle back around. And if you do put it in the context of when the film would have been shot, it was a time during the Gilded Age where there were the upper class of people and there was the working class of people. And they did not intermingle. What, the middle class didn't exist yet?
Mm-hmm.
So it almost leans into that concept of like, why not everybody have, you know, paid time off kind of a thing. And then I was like, all right, you brought it all home for me in the last 4 minutes. I sat through a lot of this.
This is why I said Disney hates you when you grow up, because a lot of their films and a lot of kids movies in general say, oh, being an adult is awful. You work way too much. You don't have any fun anymore. You should definitely step away from your job and try to have more fun. And while I agree on some points with that, you definitely should have a good balance.
Mm-hmm.
There's weird things in kids' movies that make you think, you know what? It's more important to be fun, you know, to have fun and play games as opposed to be grown up and boring all the time. You lose so much of yourself by being an adult. And unfortunately, it's just not a very realistic solution. Right?
Unfortunately not.
So
listen, I would love to play with stuffed animals.
You know what? Honestly, my job is super fun. Yeah. I get to draw things and make things and talk about Disney stuff. And so it is like being a child.
Yeah.
But in general, people, you have to work, you know? And I understand that workaholics and missing your children's childhood and not appreciating childhood is not a thing that I'm a proponent of. But you do have to have a good balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this movie kind of strikes that at the end when, you know, he says, I think people should have paid vacation. And I'm going to start working on this after this weekend because I promised my wife and daughter that I would spend time with them this weekend.
Right.
And I think, okay, that's a good thing. You can step in and say, I'm going to work hard, but I'm also going to make time for my family, which I think is a much better lesson than stop working so hard and go play, you know?
Right. But it's to Disney's advantage, because if you decide to just go play, then we go play at Disney. So, hey.
It's true. They get your money either way.
It was a coded commercial the entire time.
It's a long commercial for going to Disney. And it works, dang it, every time.
I'm surprised they didn't have him walking into the Disney castle, like, at the end, you know.
Pooh, forget 100 Acre Wood. We're going to Disney.
It's true.
But I think, overall, I think it was a fine movie. And if, you know, if your kids are of the disposition to enjoy a little bit of a slower film that doesn't get them so hyped up, this is a really good movie for that.
Does it concern you at all, the fact that they're doing this, the live, what's it called?
The live remakes?
Movies. Yeah, whatever it's called. They just slipped my mind, sorry. But they're doing the same thing with Lion King and stuff now, right. You know? And I almost wonder, because I look back at the imagery that surrounded Winnie the Pooh culture, and boy, did I like that better.
Right.
I thought it was incredible, and it is, you know, so I don't know that it helped out the Winnie the Pooh
franchise in general,
kind of a thing. So yeah. I would hate to see that kind of happen. They're not going to let that happen with Lion King. They're not. There's no way.
Well, but my issue with the live action remakes is that it's not original anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all for doing live action films.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. And their quality has been great, but I think it's a cop out. You've made tons of money off of The Lion King already. So instead of going out and trying something new and being daring with something different, you're going to take something that's already made you money and already people are a fan of and just remake it.
Yeah, and that's corporate structure in general.
And I dislike that format because we're missing out on new original stories that could be made instead.
It's true. It's what we got, Frozen and Inside Out and that kind of thing.
And Coco and all these huge movies that show that if you take a chance, you can find something that's groundbreaking and can make you even more money than just remaking. But unfortunately, we all go see the remakes and they keep making money, so they're like, obviously everyone loves them, you know?
And it's a guaranteed moneymaker.
It's a guaranteed moneymaker.
They have to support that as well.
Right.
This is the only one, this is the first one that, you know, because like Beauty and the Beast, I thought it was fantastic. I just loved it to death as well. So, and I thought it was as good, or I would say it was as good as the original, right? Like, it didn't add to or take away from the original franchise. I feel like this one might have slightly diminished the franchise slightly.
It's not as playful.
It's not, yeah.
And I keep saying that, but it's definitely, if you're going with your younger kid who loves the Winnie the Pooh cartoon, this is not in the same wheelhouse. This is a little bit more adult and less childlike, I think.
So as an adult and as a child, I loved it.
Oh, well, perfect. Steve, because it's two teddies up. Because that was a bad throwback. That was dumb. But
Google it, kids.
In general, we liked it. It's worth seeing if you're a Winnie the Pooh fan, and if you're not, this might be even more in your genre. You might enjoy this a little bit more because it's not quite so silly.
Yeah.
So, but this has been a quick discussion of Christopher Robin. And until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.